34 and 35. It reads as follows. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, this text was chosen because many times when we think in terms of remembering the Lord, we tend to think about what he has done on the cross, and rightly so. But it was chosen, I think, for two reasons. Number one, as you know, we're going through a phase of our campaign, not a phase, of until all have been served. And this text serves as the base for that drive within us that will help us to accomplish what we think this campaign will do. Secondly, I think that one of the things we rarely do when we come to the table is not only to remember what he has done for us, but sometimes we fail to remember what he is doing in us. We take it from the standpoint of what he has done, what he will do, but not what he is doing. It was the night when he was betrayed. He knew that his next stop was at the cross. He could sense what was happening because Judas had already left to do what he was going to do. He had washed the disciples' feet. He had given them some insight into what he had done. And then, knowing the time was near, perhaps he looked into the faces of his disciples and he said to them, "A new commandment I give to you." Remember, this was born on the night of the communion. So when we talk about this text that is before us, we are dealing with what took place the night when our Lord himself instituted what we call the communion, and he spoke to his disciples concerning what their responsibilities were supposed to be as he was about to go to the cross, then raised from the dead, and then ultimately ascended into heaven. How could he satisfy them? What could they do to make sure that what he had taught them, what they had known about him, would still remain long after he had gone? And he told them that it will not be what you do for me that will be the telltale sign that I am still alive, that I'm still working. It will be what you do with one another that will be the key that will give insight to the world as to what it is to belong to Jesus Christ as a disciple. And we come to the table for these next few moments to deal with this text, commanded to love. As we look at the commandment Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, "This is my commandment." It doesn't belong to the disciples. It doesn't belong to the fathers. It doesn't belong to the minister. It belongs to him. "This is my commandment." It comes from him. And listen to him. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Has it ever occurred to you, or the question in your minds, as to why did he command us to love? Why would he say to his disciples, "This is a commandment"? Well, my friends, it doesn't take much to understand that Jesus commanded that we love one another because love is not natural. Love is not something that comes naturally to you and to me. We love up to a certain point, but what he's talking about here is love that is not the kind of love which comes natural to the human heart, to the human experience. And although these men belonged to him, although those people who were following him saw some of the things he did, experienced some of the experiences he gave to them, nevertheless, he still had to tell them before he was getting ready to leave, "This is my commandment." Now, a commandment, my friend, is given because it is intended to be kept. I was talking to some of our, talking to the folks last night as we were visiting, and I mentioned about a lady. I heard her in the store the other day. This little kid was acting up. I mean, really going to it. And the mother said, or grandmother, I don't know who it was, I didn't turn around to see, but she said, "If you don't stop, I'm going to leave you here." I thought, fat chance. She wasn't going to leave the child there. The child didn't take her seriously because she knew that grandma wouldn't leave her there. Jesus wants us to take this command seriously So he chose the time when he was going to give it to us. As we come to the table, there are certain things that will make the table wonderful, beautiful, something we look forward to with a sense of expectancy. And it happens, my friends, when we are ready to obey what Jesus Christ says to us. It is at the point of obedience that we begin to go deeper and deeper into the love of Jesus. And so he said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." He knew what was in man, therefore he had to tell them, "I am commanding you." I want you to see, my friends, that he commanded not the world to love one another. He commanded his own. It is to you and to me. And I invite you this morning, as you come to the table, to investigate whether you are living in the light of the commandment of Jesus Christ. This is how we remember him, by being obedient to his commandment. So that's the demand. The demand came from Jesus. "This is my commandment." Look, if you please, not only at the reason for it, but look at the resource he gives. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." As I have loved you. The love that is really exercised, demonstrated, experienced in the heart of the believer is not something that is native to his nature. It is something that he has been given at a certain time. When did the believer receive that? Romans chapter 5 says this: "When we were born again, the Holy Spirit poured the love of Christ into our hearts so that we can now experience a uniqueness of love not before known." Are not known before. The Holy Spirit has actually infused into us. If you are a child of God this morning, if I'm a child of God, we have been given the resources with which we are to love one another. This is unique. Because sometimes when we talk to people about living sacrificially in the love of Christ, I have heard it over and over again, and sometimes I have been tempted to say it. "After all, I'm only human." That's no excuse, friends. Because he has never called us to live humanly. He has called us to live with the power of the Spirit's love with which we love one another. We shall see this in a moment. So the resource for our loving as he loved is really the privilege that has been given to us to be filled with his love by his Spirit. As we come to the table, is it time, my friends, that we ask ourselves whether the love we display to one another, whether the love we display even to the world, whether the love we display in our homes, whether the love we display at our workplace, whether that love is something like the love of God has for me. The resource, we have it. Let's quickly look at my second point. The demand is, he gives the reason and he gives the resource. Look at the display of love now. Listen to what he says. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Look at the sphere of this love. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." This love, my friends, belongs to the people of God. He's not telling us now at this point that we are to love the whole world. Because it is possible for us to try to love the whole world without loving one another. So he brings us to the place where we are confronted with our relational relations with those within the body of Christ. I was speaking up in Palmerston. And I said, I've heard Christians say this: "I would rather be with non-Christians than Christians." And a deacon said, "Amen." And I said, "Shame on you." I did. Because, my friends, listen, no unsaved person will believe that you love him if you do not love those who are in the family of God. They won't take you seriously. This is why Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have loved one for another." So the sphere of this love is between the people of God. There is supposed to be, my friends, a certain atmosphere. When people walk through these doors,
that they sense something that they do not sense any other place, and that is love for one another. Love between brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, friends between friends. Love that when they come in, if they do not know it, they want it. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And the question that must be asked as we come to the table is, do we love one another? That's almost a question that doesn't demand an answer, because we should love one another. But we know there's a difference between should and do. Do we love one another? What does it mean to love one another? How is this love displayed as far as God's people are concerned? It has to happen here, friends, between us, between you, between me, between one another. If the world is to believe that there is something unique about those people who leave their homes every Sunday morning and go to 5438 to worship, it has to be there. And so Jesus, knowing that he was leaving now, the stamp that he was going to leave on the disciples so that they can actually express his presence in them and with them to the world, is that there was a uniqueness between Peter, James, and John. There's a uniqueness between Bartholomew and Philip and Andrew. There's a uniqueness between these men who have been following, and later on, 120 of them up in the upper room. And one of the things that captured the attention of the early church was that there was a display of love between those who came to Christ that was unique, even so unique that they use a unique word for it, agape. Not used before. But I want you to quickly look at the showing of this love. The sphere is between our people. But look at the showing of it. I have two illustrations I want to use this morning. In 1956, five men were killed in Ecuador for the simple reason that they wanted to go to the Aka Indians to show them the love of Christ. They thought everything was prepared for them to go. They saw some of the Indians running wild because they were wild people at that time. Nate Saint was the one who landed the plane. He was the pilot. He landed his plane. And it didn't take long for them to realize that they were in trouble, even though they had guns that they could use. Instead of shooting at the Indians, they pulled the trigger and the gun was aimed in the air. But they came with their spears. And they killed them instantly. Five men with young families waiting to hear from them concerning their mission. They waited and waited in vain. And you know the story, some of you. But what some of you might not know, that it wasn't long afterwards that Nate Saint's children returned to the very place where their father was killed by those Indians. And they were baptized by two of the men that killed their father. Baptized by them. They were now a part of the family of God, those red Indians. And here were the blonde children of Nate Saint coming into the place where their father's blood was spilt. And they loved so deeply those men that killed their father that they were willing to allow those brown hands to go on them and dip them into the waters of baptism. Because, my friends, showing God's love means that if I am to be believed about my love for the world, I must begin by loving those. Showing God's love, it must be displayed. The second illustration is not as easy as the first. The second illustration of that is that of Gordon and Gail MacDonald. Gordon MacDonald, a very articulate minister of the word. And this is why you need to pray for your ministers. Because, my friends, there are times when a minister can be counseling with someone of the opposite sex, no matter how strong they are, no man is strong enough to say, it will never happen to me. And Gordon MacDonald, this wonderful family man, who knew something of writing concerning an effective father and books written on the home. One day, the temptation got to him, and for a moment, he slept. Gail got to know about this, and Gordon, in a deep sense of repentance, submitted himself to the elders of his church. And those elders applied to him the same discipline that he would have been a part of if he had been disciplining someone who had done this. And Gail walked and worked with her husband. And she worked and she walked with her husband. And she prayed and she reached out to her husband. And someone asked Gail MacDonald, "How could you forgive him for what he has done?" And she said, "Because I love him and I would never allow one moment slipping to destroy 30 plus years of happily married bliss." Love believes all things. It believes that God can rescue someone who has made a mistake. A display of love, my friends, sometimes cost us much. But that's the nature of love. It is willing to give something of itself to rescue someone else. The showing of God's love. Now, I could give you dozens of illustrations, but those two give, my friends, I believe, the spectrum. The betrayal of wedding vows, the destruction of a life, and both parties who were offended overcame by showing love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And I wonder, my friends, as we come to the table this morning, if someone is holding out on another, refusing to release, refusing to forgive, refusing to experience the love of God, because this is my thing and not even God is going to let me act differently. I have heard it said, not here, but I've heard it said. As we come to the table, is there someone in the family of God that I refuse to love, refuse to release, refuse to forgive, refuse to accept, refuse to receive? Jesus Christ might have brought that one into your life this morning, that before you come to the table, you examine your hearts and say, "Lord, I want to love like you love. I want to show this love, and I will display it this way." Let me close very quickly. This is a communion meditation. The significance of love, verse 35. The significance of love. "By this will all men know you are my disciples." By this will all men know. Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples, the voice to the world, the voice to the world is going to be the love of God's people one for another. "By this shall men..." Are you concerned about the world, the lostness of the world? Then love your brother. Love your sister. The degree to which you love them is the degree to which you will be willing to make any sacrifice to rescue them. Love one another as I have loved you. And by this, you will be a voice to the world. My dear friends, as we come to the table, until all have been served, it begins with one another. It begins with you and it begins with me. Am I willing to serve you? Am I willing to be your servant? I'm telling you, my friends, there's only one way it's going to be. If I love you, I will. If I love you, I will. I will not be afraid to spend myself for you, because I love you. And when I come to the table, this is where I understand it. This is where I understand it. If Jesus Christ be God and gave himself for me because of his love for me, then God helping me, I will not withhold myself from you. I want to love you as he has loved me. Let us pray. Father, we're coming to the table and we want to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We are remembering him this morning with our love one for another. And dear friends, I ask you to examine yourself. When we come to the table, we are to examine ourselves to see whether we're walking in the faith, whether we're walking in love. Let me begin with love in the home. Am I loving my spouse as God loves me? Am I loving my children as God loves me? Let me come to the church. Is there a brother or a sister that I will not talk to, share with, sit at the same table with? Young people, older people, is there someone who has been hurt by you, by me? If we love them, let's go and ask their forgiveness. Let's come to the table free from guilt. Let's make a covenant with God that we will love as He has loved us. There is a world to be won out there, and God will not change His principle to suit me. There's a world to be loved out there, but it begins in the church. Until all have been served, as you love one another as I have loved you, men will know that you are my disciples. Grant it, Father, for the namesake of Jesus Christ, and we pray in His name. Amen.